Okay, we're on Tess Ahmed Aleph. Three lines from the top. So that should be 9A1. Should be referring back to the Mishnah. I just want to make sure that... One second, it's a little bit frozen here. Now we're in business. Okay, so one of the lines of the Mishnah discusses who goes into exile for killing whom. And we said, if you kill an Israelite, you for sure go into exile. If an Israelite kills, he goes into exile. But now we're dealing with some of the exceptions. And one of the exceptions is a ger toshav. Okay? And that was the line of our Mishnah. Chutz me'al yedei ger toshav. All are exiled for inadvertent killing an Israelite, and an Israelite exiled for inadvertent killing them, with the exception of a ger toshav. Again, reminding you what a ger toshav is, although it calls him a resident alien. So I guess I'm a ger toshav of Canada, according to that definition. But a resident alien means a non-Jew who accepts upon himself the seven Noahide laws and to live under Jewish authority in the land of Israel. So he has some status. First of all, you don't kill him. You don't kill him as a Canaanite, the seven Canaanite nations. He's allowed to live as a free person in the state of Israel, as it were. And he has, we have a certain responsibility to take care of him, but he's not chayiv in the other 606 mitzvahs. Okay, so but he is chayiv for all the Noahide laws. He's abiding by all the Noahide laws. So we now say there's an exception with the ger toshav. The question with the mission was not clear. What does it mean, the exception of the ger toshav? In what way is there an exception? In other words, if he kills, he does not go into exile, right? If that's the exception, exactly what happens to him, and then what happens if you kill him? So that's not clear from the words of the Mishnah. So the Mora first makes an assumption that if you kill a non-Jew, you don't go into exile. You don't go into exile, and if a non-Jew kills, we'll have to see what his law is. But by excluding the ger toshav, the Gemara makes the opening assumption, which is Alma. We see from the Mishnah that ger toshav oved kochavim hu. That from this part of the Mishnah, that a ger toshav is treated exactly as a non-Jew, because we said with the exclusion of a ger toshav. So now he tells us that Mark currently understands this phrase of the Mishnah to exclude a ger toshav from the law of exile completely. He's not in that law at all. So you're going to have to hang on over here. Now it's interesting, according to Rashi, he's not exiled for killing, nor is one exiled for killing him. It's just not in the Parsha. This is the same law that applies to idolaters. Okay, now I already explained that bracket is the is going to show you that what a ger toshav is. The Gemara shortly is going to bring a pasuk which apparently means that a ger toshav has the same status as a Jew regarding the laws of exile. Gemara wants to infer from the Mishnah that it's not so. So we're going to have a problem coming up in 1 minute. But right now, from the opening line of the Mishnah, it appears that the ger toshav is not like a Jew and doesn't have these laws. Now, it's not clear, though, when it says he's not exiled for killing a Jew, so what does that mean? Okay, now that can mean one of two things. It could mean, well, he just doesn't go into exile, and that's it. Or it could mean he doesn't go into exile, but he gets killed instead. That's going to be part of the discussion coming up over. He doesn't have the laws of a Jew. He has the law of a non-Jew. What's going to happen to these people? That still has to be explained, because the Mishnah doesn't say a lot of words. So by the first line of the Mishnah that says excluding a ger toshav means he's not in the laws of exile. If he gets killed or he kills, it just doesn't apply. That's what would appear. But now we have the next line of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara has to resolve it, so that's where the clarity is going to come. All right, well, that was the first line of the Mishnah. Let's look at the next line of the Mishnah, Ema Seifa. Let's look at the end of the Mishnah that continues to discuss the Ger Toshav. And it says, Ger Toshav Gola Al Yedei Ger Toshav. The next line of the Mishnah says, if a Ger Toshav kills another Ger Toshav, he does go into exile. Well, then clearly he can't be like a non-Jew. Because when not the laws of going into Gaulus, going to Ira Migler, are for Jews, not for non-Jews. Clearly, if a non-Jew kills a non-Jew, even with all the proper shogeg, he does not go into Ira Migler, period. You're telling me now if a Ger Toshav kills a Ger Toshav, he goes to Ira Migler, so that he must not be like a non-Jew. So what's going on? And the first clause of the Mishnah says we excluded Ger Toshav from this laws of Ner Miklat. Now we say Ger Toshav goes to Ner Miklat by killing a Ger Toshav. So how do we resolve the difference between the Reish and the Seifa? So the first answer is a fairly obvious answer. Amarav Kahana, and some of the commentaries say that the answer is so obvious, the question is what was the questioner thinking? But anyway, does anybody have a possible answer? He says, very simple, lo kasha. Kan beger toshav shehara ger toshav. The Seifa is speaking where a ger toshav kills a ger toshav, as the Mishnah itself explicitly says. So a ger toshav kills a ger toshav, he is exiled. But the Reisha that says he's excluded is kan beger toshav shehara Yisrael. We're talking about a ger toshav who kills a Jew. When a Ger Toshav kills a regular Jew, that's where we exclude him from exile. And that's Rav Kahana's answer. So when the Mishnah says, with the exception of a Ger Toshav, it does not refer to both of the earlier clauses. Rather, this exception lies only where someone kills an Israelite. In that case, the Mishnah teaches, if the assailant is a Ger Toshav, he's not subject to exile. But in the reverse case, where an Israelite kills someone, then even if the victim is a Ger Toshav, the assailant is exiled. Whoa! The reason for the distinction is that Ger Toshav is generally included in the laws of exile. But where he kills an Israelite, his crime is too serious for exile to serve as an atonement. And we're going to say that's more because he killed a Jew. Okay?
So since, what do we do to him?
Oh, so that's going to be a discussion, what we do to this fellow. That's still to be discussed. Huh. Still to be discussed over the overall idea of when you're calling something a Karav Lameizid, if he doesn't have that, that's a whole discussion. According to some opinions, he doesn't go to the city of refuge, and that means that the Gol Hadam, the closest relative, can kill him. In other words, there's two parts to here. When somebody kills, has the option. He doesn't have to. You know, one has to kill somebody. But that's what it is by every case of Gaulus, where you have the guy kills, the Gaul Adam is entitled to kill the relative. We tried to dissuade him and let the killer go to the city of refuge, but if he kills him, he kills him. But he's got at least as a city of refuge to get out of it. So we could say that the Ger Toshav, his sin is too severe a crime for killing a Jew, so he doesn't go into exile. Now, if he doesn't go into exile, so there's a discussion, and some say, and therefore the redeemers of blood can kill the fellow. Okay.
So just one second. So we're saying that it's too serious for this, what's he called again?
The Ger Toshav.
Ger Toshav, to kill a Jew.
For his atonement.
But for a Jew to kill a Jew inadvertently is not as serious as in this case, we're saying.
Right. Mm. Right. That's how the commentaries talk about this. So since this part of the Mishnah holds that the base of law of exile does apply to Ger Toshav, it is fully consistent with the next part, which imposes exile on Ger Toshav and inadvertently kills another Ger Toshav. In other words, so therefore, if the Israelite kills him, he goes into exile. If a Ger Toshav kills another Ger Toshav, he goes into exile. Only if a Ger Toshav kills a Yisrael, the crime is too serious for that to help him. In accordance with this approach, Rambam rules that an Israelite who inadvertently kills a Ger Toshav is exiled. However, the Raiva disputes this ruling. This is only this answer over here. So that's how he makes that distinction. And the Ger Toshav who kills a Ger Toshav goes into exile. He really is part of the laws of exile. But when he kills a Yisraelite, then for him, for his status, it's too severe of a crime and the punishment will not work for him. Now, that's the answer to the question. Gemara now is going to... So right now, the Gemara asks the question from the first line of the Mishnah to the second line of the Mishnah. Gemara now is going to have a parallel discussion going off the topic from, not really off the topic, but not dealing directly with the contradiction between the first line and the second line of the Mishnah. Instead, it's going to deal with the contradiction between two psukim in the Chumash that seem to be contradicting themselves. And that could be why the style of the Mishnah was written in a way to contradict itself that needed an explanation. Ika de Rami, there are those who ask the question not from the first line to the second line of the Mishnah, but Kroyak Kroy. One Pasuk seems to be contradicting another Pasuk regarding the Ger Toshav, if he's excluded from exile or not. Ksiv, it says like this regarding the city of refuge. The laws of the six cities of refuge, it says, Livnei Yisrael, for the Jewish people, Vila Ger, and for the convert, there Ger means a complete convert, Vila Toshav. When it says Toshav, that means the Ger Toshav. Not to confuse. Ger means a complete convert who became a complete Jew, 100% Jew. Ger Toshav means the resident alien goy. So the Pasuk says, we're coping all three. It says, Bitocham amongst you, Tiena Shesh Arm, there shall be six cities of refuge. Clearly, a Ger Toshav has a city of refuge to go to if he kills. The Pasuk says, clearly has that. Right? So obviously he's subject to exile. The Pasuk clearly says a Ger Toshav has a city of refuge to go. Yeah?
If a Ger Toshav that converts completely is a Jew.
He's not a Ger Toshav anymore.
That's right. So why?
He's a Ger. But we're talking about those who don't convert.
A Jew that doesn't enter into
but
this.
A Ger Toshav does not have to convert to be a Jew. There's another class.
Okay.
So that's what we're talking about here. There's three classes of Jewish citizens, if you want to call it. A Jew by birth is 100% Jew, 100% without any exclusion.
Right.
A convert is 99.99% a Jew. Huh. Right? Certain things a convert cannot, can't marry certain people, whatever. A Kohen's daughter can't marry a convert.
Right.
Mm. A Kohen can't marry a convert, rather. So 99.9%, but in every other way he's a Jew. The Ger Toshav is not a Jew at all. He's a non-Jew who's permitted to live in the state of Israel.
Okay. And that's the seven Noahide laws.
He keeps the seven Noahide laws. He's going to be a good, not a righteous Gentile. That's what we're calling a righteous...
So why don't you refer to him as a righteous Gentile or whatever, Gentile?
We are. We're calling a Ger Toshav. Ger means... What does the word Ger mean? A Ger can mean... What? A Ger also means a stranger. Means a stranger. It's also a Ger Toshav. So I'm trying to clear the rule. A Ger, just the word Ger, means a complete car.
So then non-Jewish law should apply to him, and that's it. Leave him alone. He's
a
non-Jew.
No, he's not. No, they have non-Jews who don't live in Israel and who do not want to abide by the seven laws.
Right, so why is he different?
There's a difference. He's living in Israel, and there's halachas that we have to support him. We have to take care of him. We don't have to take care of the other non-Jews of the world. We can't allow a non-Jew to live in Israel. It's all kinds of laws. If a non-Jew, when we had the base of Mikdash, when we had control of Eretz Yisrael, Canaanites could not live in the land of Israel.
So why are we discussing when a non-Jew kills our Jew if they cannot be there?
First of all, it could be in Bavel. In Bavel. We have Torah law in Bavel. What do you want?
Yeah.
And a non-Jewish merchant. A non-Jewish merchant is a Haifa and killed someone. Okay.
But he doesn't live there.
He doesn't live there. Awesome. That's different.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, so that clearly says the Ger Toshav goes to the city of refuge. Uksi, but when it talks about the city of refuge, a little earlier in the pasuk, it says Vayalachem Ha'arim Lamiklot. These cities will be for you. That extra word lachem is extra. Don't need that word. It's just of Vahayu Ha'arim Lamiklot. The city should be for a refuge. Why do you got to say lachem? Lachem is an exclusionary term. And what's the exclusion? Lachem velo lagerim, for you and not for, here it means ger toshav, not regular ger, but it means ger toshav. Lachem, for you, for Jews, not for non-Jews. So you have a contradiction in the psukim. How do you deal with the contradiction in the psukim? So Amar Rav Kahana comes along, Rav Kahana, and answers, lo kasha, it's not a kasha. Kan beger toshav shaharig Yisrael. In the first pasuk, in the one where we're excluding them, in the second pasuk, it's talking where the ger toshav kills an Israelite, where he does not go to the city of refuge. But the first pasuk, kan beger toshav shaharig ger toshav, the first pasuk is talking where ger toshav kills a ger toshav. That's when he does go into the city of refuge, and that's how we answer the
contradiction. So there was a separate city of refuge strictly.
No. They have six cities of refuge. They go to the same six cities of refuge, okay. But only when the Ger Toshav kills another Ger Toshav. If a Ger Toshav kills an Israelite, he does not go to the city of refuge. Okay. If a Jew kills a Ger Toshav, he does go to the city of refuge. So the Ger Toshav basically has the laws of city of refuge, with the exclusion if he kills an Israelite, it can't give him kapara for that. And then what happens to him is a discussion. Okay. Now the problem is we have a brisa now that seems to conflict with another statement, with the way we've understood our Mishnah. The way we've squared our Mishnah and understood the psukim is, we says, well, the Ger Toshav pretty much has the laws of Ir HaMiklat, with the exception when he kills a Jew. Okay, now we're going to see there's another problem to the last part of our Mishnah. Okay, what seems from a brisa that seems to argue with this. Now, we got to understand, we're picking up this brisa in mid-sentence. So the commentary has to give you what's leading up to this to understand the sentence. Okay, it's talking about the laws that a non-Jew can be sentenced to death for transgressing one of the seven Noahide laws, even without being warned in advance. It's a discussing issue. Normally, you need a hasra when a Jew to be punished with anything, and especially a capital crime. There's got to be a warning for a Jew. Okay, that's what we say. But a non-Jew doesn't need a warning. The mitzvah is the warning. That's it. We learned this in Sanhedrin. We don't want to go over the ethical nature of that. But the non-Jew, basically, you do a capital crime, you don't need any warnings. You get killed. Okay. And it's mentioning that we got that is the idolater, and he said, and that's the case as a warning. Now it says like this: Lefikach, therefore, ger, here it means a ger toshav, ve'oved kochavim, and a non-Jew shahorgu, that killed, neharagim, are killed. Okay, now this is speaking, even if they killed Bishogeg, they're killed. Finished. Now, let's try to understand what's going on. We're equating the Ger Toshav with a non-Jew. That's going to be the problem. Now, let's take a look at the commentary. Now, normally, according to Jewish law, we only kill a person if he's warned. And there's two reasons for that. Number one, he needs to know that it's prohibited to do this. And number two, we need to know that he's doing it intentionally and not non-intentionally. Okay? So therefore, we need the warning. Non-Jew does not need a warning, and a Ger Toshav does not need a warning. And if they kill, they just get killed. Finished. Now, let's look. A warning serves to establish that the transgressor acted with full knowledge of the consequence act. Accordingly, since a Noahide does not require a warning. That's the law. That's what it said before. It doesn't require a warning. It follows that he is legally responsible for transgression, even if they were not done with full knowledge, but were inadvertent. The brisa therefore rules that a Noahite, an idolater, or a ger toshav can be executed even for killing inadvertently. That's what the brisa says. Okay, we'll just leave it at that. I want to do the Ramban. Okay, I can mention that the Ramban only to assuage Shelley's finding that a little bit harsh. So I'm just going to quote the Ramban, but we're not going to go through the Gemara with the Ramban's interpretation. Ramban contends that nobody can be punished by the courts for transgressions that were inadvertent. Although a Noachite need not receive a formal warning in order to be punished, it must still be clear that transgression was intentional. Okay, so he limits that. So Machlokas Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi is saying, you just kill him. Finished. No questions asked. Ramban says, we at least need to know he was intentional, even though he doesn't need a warning. Fine. Be that as it may, we kill them. Now, but, and the Braisa clearly is saying that we're treating the Ger Toshav like a Goy, like a non-Jew, that they're the same, right? So if you're saying that they're the same, what do you mean? How are they the same? We see that from that Braisa then, so what would be, according to that Braisa alone, if a Ger Toshav kills a Ger Toshav, what would be the law? You kill him.
Yeah.
That would be the law. You kill him. So that's the problem. So that we're fearing is the question now. Ketani Ger, it's mentioning Ger, Dum Yudav Karavim, is like the non-Jew. By mentioning them together, the idolatry, together with the Ger, the Braisa teaches that some aspect of the law applied to Ger Toshav as well. Same law. And it seems we're talking about this idea of murder. So it should be the same halacha. That's the same.
He goes into exile. So,
So now what's the similarity? What do you know about a non-Jew for sure when it comes to murder? Lo shna de kotel bar mine. It doesn't matter if he killed one of his own kinds, an idolater. Lo shna de kotel de lav bar mine. It doesn't matter if he kills one who's not of his own kind, a Jew or anyone else. The law is nera. He gets killed, and we're equating the Ger Toshav to the Goy, so it should be the same thing according to the Braisa. Af Ger, meaning Ger Toshav, lo shna de kotel bar mine, wouldn't make it if he killed someone like himself, like a Ger Toshav. The lo shna kotel the lav bar mine would make a difference if he killed somebody not like himself. The law would be, now the Gemara says it straight out. Nerak, he gets killed. Yeah. That should be the same thing in either case. So the Braisa contradicts the Mishnah. Right. That rules that a Ger Toshav kills a Ger Toshav goes into exile.
So what do we do with that?
But a Ger, just to bracket there, just what it says he's killed, but a Ger Toshav is not issued for killing an idolater. We'll have to see why, but that's commentary. Okay, fine. But anyway, you have a contradiction clearly between the Braisa and the Mishnah. The Mishnah clearly says a Ger Toshav who kills a Ger Toshav goes into exile. And the Braisa clearly says, regarding to murder and these kinds of things, the Ger Toshav's like the Goy. So he's like the Goy, just like a Goy. Doesn't matter who he kills. There's no idea of a city of refuge. So it should be the same thing with a Ger Toshav. So now we're going to get a big machlokes, Rav Chisna and Rava, two different answers to this question. Two different answers to this question. Now, this is all based on our initial understanding of Rav Kahana's original way of how we resolved the Mishnah. Remember, we had a problem with the Mishnah. Line one, it appears they're not part of this. Line two says they are. So we made a compromise. You know, if Ger Toshav kills again, that's the way we're going with that pshat. Fine. But how are we going to deal with it with the Braisa? So first, getting Rav Chisda's answer, and then we're going to get Rava's answer, and we're going to see that their answers depend on a deeper machlokas, which we're going to get to the topic that Shelley wanted to know more about a number of weeks ago. If a guy doesn't know he's not allowed to kill, he doesn't know the law, what's the law with him? And I told you there's a big machlokas about it. We're going to come up to that probably tomorrow. So let's hear answer number one. Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda, that's not a question. Lo kasha. Khan, over here in our Mishnah where it says that the Ger Toshav goes into exile for killing a Ger Toshav, that's Shaharik Derech Yerida, when he killed, going in a downward motion. Remember, the laws of exile for everybody appear only when going in a downward motion, because that is more... he should have been more careful. Yeah, yeah. So that's what we call a legitimate shogeg. Remember, shogeg is a balance between, you know, accident and total intent. So in the middle, like a negligence. We call it a inadvertent negligence. Yeah. Going down, you should have been more careful, and that's why you go into exile. So when a ger toshav kills a ger toshav, when they're going in a downward motion, he goes into exile. But Khan in the Brisa, where we say there's no difference between a ger toshav and a non-Jew, is shahargu derech aliyah, where he kills when he's going in an upward motion. What's the law when a Jew kills a Jew in an upward motion? What's the law?
Putter.
What?
Putter.
It's considered an accident, right? So there's going to be the difference. Seharach derech aliyah. Okay, one second. Very interesting. The Bryce is speaking where it's going in an upward motion, and he's going to be like a goy, executed.
That's not like a Jew.
Different. But what's the problem with that?
Should be the opposite.
It's really worse for him. Yeah. But for a Jew, it's not worse.
No accidents.
Again, how are they resolving the issue? We're saying, when do we say a ger toshav kills a ger toshav, goes into exile? Like when a Jew goes in a downward motion, goes into exile. Right. When do we say he's like a goy, gets killed? When he kills it, goes in an upward motion. And that the Gemara is going to have a problem in a minute. So we're going to say, Derech Yerida, the Yisrael Goli. Okay. So but when it goes down, a Jew goes into exile, right? Downward motion. Ihunami Sagile Begolus. So he also can go into Golus. It's okay. It's good enough. It's good enough that he can go into Golus. But Derech Aliyah, but when you're going up, what's the law by Yisrael? The Yisrael Potter, the Jew, is excused from it. It's not. Hu Nerag. He is killed.
Yeah.
Now that's a little bit hard. What, you going to like that answer?
No.
Right? Now remember, the first Mishnah taught us that one is not exiled for inadvertently killing that happens as a result of an upward motion. It was explained that such killing does not warrant exile because it's not it's so unexpected, the killer is not responsible. It's close to an accident. Rav Chis, however, disagrees with that whole explanation. The basis of his answers totally disagrees with that. In his view, he says like this. This is, I didn't teach you then, but Rav Chis has a unique position here that many reject. He says it's not that when going upwards is closer to an accident. He says no. He says exile does not suffice to atone for a death resulting from emotion because he says it borders on closer to mezid. Very big chiddush, Rav Chista. He said when you're going up, it's like almost for sure it's closer to intentional than unintentional.
Yeah, I would agree.
But it's hard for us to accept that because the way the Gemara explained it was saying, no, when it's going down, you should have been more careful because gravity pulls things down. You weren't so careful, you go into exile. Going up, you weren't planning on going down. It's almost an accident. Rechissa totally reverses this. Yeah. He holds when you're going up, it's closer to intentional.
That's right.
Which is a very difficult sphere to understand. And therefore, exile will not suffice. And therefore, it's not that it's an accident. He doesn't even have to go. He's so far away from murder. He says he's much closer to murder that exile's not good enough for the guy. And then there's a whole question, what's going to happen if he can't go to the city of exile? That's another discussion. Okay, anyway, he says, as it is in such circumstance, the Brisa deems a ger toshav liable to execution for killing another ger toshav. Hence, the Brisa does not contradict our mission because the mission refers only to killings that are clearly inadvertent. Now, since the Brisa is drawing a parallel between a ger toshav and an idolater, it emerges that an idolater, too, is not executed for killing one of his own kind unless the deed was of a deliberate nature. Okay, that's a whole, I don't want to get into the non-Jew over here. But that's his answer. To which right away Rava says, totally disagrees with Rav Chista's approach. And Rava says, what are you talking about? I'm going to lay Rava. Rava's going to reject this opinion, although Rav Chista's going to maintain it, because he has a different approach, obviously. But he says, and Rava's coming to the approach where we understood the Mishnah originally. He says, V'lav kal v'chemeru? Isn't this an a fortiori argument? How could you say this? Uma derech yerida. When we're going down, the Yisrael goli, a Jew goes into exile going down. And when a non, the righteous Gentile, the Ger Toshev, does that, he also goes into exile. Iunami sagi levi golus. When you're going down, it's also golus is good enough, right? Which is the same. So derech aliyo, when you're going up, Yisrael Potter, when the Jew is Potter. Now, obviously, Rubbus was asking the question, holds going up is complete accident. You see, that's why he's asking on Rav Chisa. Complete accident. He's Potter. You Nerag, he should be killed. So you clearly see now the real machlokes, Rav and Rav Chisa. How do we view going up? Rubbus was the way we were learning the whole time. Going up is complete is almost a complete accident. Well, Rav Chisda somehow learns that going up is closer to negligent.
Yeah.
So, but that's, so Rava does not like that answer at all. He rejects it. Okay, according to Rava, killing through an upward motion is not possible because it's an unexpected mishap. Actually, the Gemara throughout the early part of this chapter follows Rava's view. We were always going, Rava therefore argues that since a Ger Toshev is exiled for killing through a downward motion, it's illogical to subject him to more severe punishment for an upward motion. Rav Chisda, he is a totally different approach. He is saying, even for a Jew, when a Jew kills in an upward motion, it's closer to Mesid. That's why he doesn't go to exile. It's not good enough to exonerate him. But we're not. But then the question is going to be, what then? What happens to a Jew under those circumstances? Not going. But anyway, the same thing with the Ger Toshev, and therefore he is killed. So Rava does not like that answer. He's going to give us his own answer. Okay, we had the one resolution, and which according to us, we're going to say we don't understand it. So now Elam Rava. Now we come into the next discussion. The case is the Brisa's case, but Omar Mutter. The Brisa says when the Ger Toshev kills unintentionally, he gets killed like a goy. It's a specific kind of unintentional, not with the rolling pin falling out. That's one type. This one is what? I didn't know you can't kill anybody. They never taught me in school that you can't kill people. I never knew it was a crime.
Let this guy into the news as well.
I never knew it was a crime. The truth is, that's not so hard to understand now if you go to Palestinian children.
Yeah.
If you go to a little Palestinian child who kills a Jew, he thinks a mitzvah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you got to understand, honestly, is it that kid's fault? Think about it.
No, it's not, really.
The kid... From infancy, you're trained that Jews are the worst. We're taught that a Moloch should be killed.
Right.
So, obviously, the educators are at fault. Yeah. But how can you kill the kid? Yeah. I mean, you could say, I mean, you can at least hear it, okay, that they're saying it's Omer Mutter, right? The assailant killed his victim intentionally, but he thought that the law permitted him to do so.
Yeah.
In this case, in Israel, it would not be exiled, because his guilt is too great to be atoned for by exile.
Mm-hmm. Therefore,
because it's so that, you know, it's Omer Mutter's pretty bad, but it's too bad that exile won't help. Therefore, the Brisa rules that a Ger Toshev is executed. Remember, because him, we kill him. However, in an ordinary case of inadvertent, a regular case where it slips out, where an Israelite would be exiled, Ger Toshev is also exiled for killing another Ger Toshev. So Rava agrees with Rav Chisda that the Brisa refers to killing of a deliberate nature. They disagree only about the specific circumstance. Okay, then did you think you could kill or not? So that becomes the discussion of Omer Mutter. And that's not so simple. Omer Le'abai, just not two lines. Omer Le'abai says, what are you talking about? Listen to this. Omer Mutter, Onasu. What are you talking about? Omer Mutter is a total accident. Because if you think it's okay, can't be responsible if you didn't know it was usher. So why then is he executed at all? Why would we execute the guy if it's a total accident? Why should you execute him? Omer Le, he's going to say, Shani Omer, because I hold Omer Mutter Korav Lemezidhu. That Omer Mutter is closer to Mezid. It's not that I learn it's like an accident. It's closer to Mesid because killing is still killing. According to Rav, a person considered criminally at fault for never having learned the law that killing is forbidden. So you hear what's going on.
Yeah.
Omer Mutter doesn't go into Golas, according to Rav, because it's Karav Lamezit. It's just because he didn't learn. That's not like an accident. It's Karav Lamezit. The other rabbi said, what are you talking about? If he didn't learn, how was he supposed to know? So because it's interesting, Machlokas now, Abaye is saying the guy didn't know. So the guy actually didn't know Hilchos Shabbos. Right? So he said, no, Omer Mutter for killing somebody, that already, that you're at fault for not having learned that that is not allowed. And therefore, by a Jew, it's so bad, we can't send him to exile. For the non-Jew, since he has no, he doesn't have that, we kill him. We kill the Ger Toshav. So when the Brisa says, we treat the Ger Toshav like the Goy, we're talking about where he thought it was permitted to kill, and therefore we kill him. When we say the Bryce, this is a Ger Toshav, who kills the Ger Toshav, goes into exile. So that's a regular case of Shogeg, where the rolling pin fell down and killed him. That's the two answers, and then to resolve the contradiction. The first one, according to Rav Chisda, is saying there's an upwards and downwards motion, and that was very difficult for us, because he's saying upwards is closer to Mazid. See, both answers have to say the Bryce is closer to Mazid. Rav Chisda said closer to Mazid, he was going in an upward motion. He holds that's closer to Mazid. Rav is saying he thought it was allowed to kill a person. That's Karav Lamezit, we kill him. And that's going to bring us to the big machlokes coming up tomorrow between Rav Chisda and Rav about this whole issue of Omer Mutter. And that's tomorrow's subject matter.